The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone. When he's not on the microphone, he's playing a song. And when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone. And then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't. Yes, he did.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
That's disappointing, which is always how you want to start a show. Well, that's disappointing. Oh, I got my stuff in the mail today. I'm waiting for that pistachio extract. I'll be over my dad's tonight doing Ninja Creamy lessons. That
okay.
Sounds, if you don't, wow. You know, out of context, if you don't know what that is, it sounds really strange.
Not even in context.
The Ninja,
gross.
Ninja Creamy is an ice cream maker, for those of you who do not know. And I got my dad one for his birthday. And I got to, I'm waiting for this stuff to make because his favorite flavor is pistachio. So I want to thank the Drive guys yesterday. Did a little crossover in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah?
Sort of. Yeah. They were.
I mean, sort of.
Well, they were doing the whole, how can you want the season to end? And then, I had a guy from Boston and from Philly. Isn't he from Philly?
That's a respectable job.
Isn't he from Philly but lived in Boston, right? Right? Okay. And the guy that did the funeral in 02 for the Lakers telling me, you know, you got to have faith.
I mean, he had a lot of faith.
He did have a lot of faith. No, it was good. It was good-natured banter. But then in the end, I did ask Kyle. I said, Kyle, do you have faith they're going to make the first round? And he goes, yeah. I said, okay. If the Kings make the first round of the playoffs, I will stand outside our studios for an hour with a sign that says, Kyle was right and I was wrong. Got to have faith. Go Kings. And if they don't, then you have to stand outside our studio for an hour. You can pick the hour that says Dave was what?
Oh, like outside here or outside?
No,
there?
Outside.
Oh, okay.
Who's he going to show the sign to?
Oh, that's not the point. It's just it's the photo op. You kidding me? The photo op of that? That saying Dave was right, I was wrong. How silly was I to have faith in this team?
Did he agree to that?
Nope.
Why would he agree to that?
He had faith.
No, but that's,
the whole thing was about faith.
That's not a fair payoff.
Why?
Because,
I was going to do the same thing.
Yeah, but if you lose, you're happy.
No, I'm not.
You're
sure.
Not.
No. And I'm glad you're bringing that up because that is what drives me nuts about some. Here's the thing. There is no, well, I shouldn't say there is no worse fan. That's an overstatement. fans that are on my radar that need a spanking for being bad, I'll say it like that. It drives me nuts when fans, I understand if you don't have faith in your team. I understand if you're pessimistic, but obviously that's the world I live in. But if it ends up that the team does better than you thought, and exceeds your expectations and is successful, if that doesn't make you joyous, then you're not a fan of the team. You're a fan of your narrative and holding receipts, and that to me is gross. If the Kings were to make everything I am saying I don't have faith in, if they were to turn that on its ear, I'd be the happiest guy in the world. I want to hold that sign.
Exactly.
What I'm saying is, you're saying I'd be happy. Oh, I thought you were saying the opposite.
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
See, you would be happy.
Yes, I would be.
And then if Kyle loses, everybody's upset.
Two things. Number one, you should be on my side just because. It's a great bit. Secondly, all I'm saying is, if you have faith, put your faith on the table. If you have faith it's going to happen, that's great to say. But then when I put up a bet on it, a good-natured bet, and they're like, oh.
I just think your punishments should be worse. There should be some sort of 2-to-1 punishment.
Because if I'm wrong, I mean, fine. I would go 2 hours to his one. That's fine. That's 2-to-1.
No, I think he should be in someplace more public.
No.
Yeah.
No, because
oh, you don't want to take the bet?
No, because I don't have faith. Well, I guess it's
right.
It's I don't have faith in them winning.
So then you should be fine. You can make it 10-1.
But here's the mistake. I also don't have faith in this team to do anything. I know they're going to win or lose. I get it. I know that one thing's
going to
happen.
Yeah, but you don't think it's going to happen. So why would it matter if it's 10-1?
Well, why would it matter if it's 100-1? Because right. I don't there's a difference between not having faith and believing it's like impossible. Like, I'm not saying they can't do it.
Right.
I'm saying I don't believe they'll do it. I don't have a strong belief about them. I don't have a strong belief that they'll do it.
Hey,
I don't have a strong belief that they won't do it.
$250,000. You got the bag. What are you doing?
If I have $250,000 and I have to make a decision, mm-hmm. keep in mind, by the way, in your example here, my decision-making process could say I believe they will do this thing 50.1% and I believe they won't do it 49.9%. I have to make a decision.
Right.
So if I had the bag of $200,000, $250,000, I would bet that they will not make the first round. That I will bet that. But boy, would I agonize over it mm-hmm. because I can absolutely – now, obviously, they have a path to make the – of course they have a path to make the first round. Just saying. I feel like I won that exchange, but I'm a constituency of one. Oh, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Great.
What did I have for you guys? The only other Lil Nas X fan in the building, according to Christopher Laud, is me and Kyle Ledbetter.
Okay.
I didn't say that.
Oh, that you know of. I apologize. Yes. You're right. You said that.
You can ask him about it tomorrow.
Shut up. Yes, Kyle Ledbetter will be joining us in the morning. Does he still do, we don't do updates anymore, I guess, right?
So. We're going to have Masters updates tomorrow.
Is he going to do like, good morning?
I have to find out.
Masters update is brought to you by Naturewood.
Naturewood is on your side.
I feel why. Ever since that meeting with the lawyers, now we do stuff like, I'm like, was that a federal crime? I was looking for.
You'll love Naturewood. I guarantee it.
Guarantee it. I was looking up today. It's been like 3 years since an album from this guy. Come on. That was his debut album. It was awesome. How are you not a Lil Nas X fan?
I'm old.
Well, yeah, but you can look. I fully admit that, like, there's a lot of. I'm far less into that newfangled music than I was when you're a kid or you're whatever. You're in the relevant age. Yeah, and everything is this guy, this girl, this guy, this girl. They're all great. Now it's like I very much kind of. A lot of it, that meme where the guy's taking his headphones off, like, that's me with some of it. But, like, occasionally one sneaks through where I'm like, Billie Eilish. I love that album. Post Malone. I like that guy. Lil Nas X. I like that guy. You don't have that at all? You pretty much stick to your old stuff?
And, like, the newer bands that sound like the old stuff.
Like, do you remember off the top of your head, what's the last, what's the last new group? What's, like, the newest group that you're, like, legitimately into?
The Ist. See, you ask these questions.
You're right.
And you know you're going to get an answer like
right.
that.
You're right. You're 100% right. That is not your fault. That is my fault. Jason, do you, any?
Yeah, the Ist.
Is that like, is that the in-season tournament,
Yes.
Is that what that is?
It's instead of the one shining moment, it's the Ist.
Next year will be the Ist.
I want to ask Chris Watkins this later. Being Chris is all the point where he's like, this all album music.
No,
stuff.
He's going to say.
He famously said on the air, I'm not really a music guy.
Nobody told me a guy that he liked and I'd never heard of him. And then I listened and go, that's pretty good.
Oh, that is true.
Wait, Chris Watkins said that?
Yeah. He did have like a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is the guy's name? Gosh darn it. I actually saw it, the other day. It was probably like 3 weeks ago. It was in like one of my YouTube feeds because that's the one I looked him up a while back. And I go, that's the guy Chris Watkins like. I go, yeah, let me listen to that song again.
Don't remember though. We'll have to ask him.
Yeah.
That's fine. Here's something I don't really know what to do with. Beyonce to this, you always have to be careful when you talk about Beyonce. You say anything about Beyonce, it's like all of a sudden 17 million people are just like staring at you like, yeah, what? That is one world on social media I will 100% not go anywhere near is the Beehive. Nope, not doing it. Not that I have anything negative to say, but Beyonce's kind of like to this point been my, there's some superstars that are like the Rolling Stones to me, where like I don't really know much of what they do, but I have like an album's worth of songs that I could put together where it's a, like a lot of really good stuff. And I don't know what to do with this because I listened to her new album last week, the kind of country-ish one they're talking about. That is a gorgeous album. I mean, honest to God, that is a gorgeous album to listen to. And when I say gorgeous, I mean the production value, the harmonies, the songs themselves, obviously. And I don't know that I'd classify it. I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't call it a country album. I would say it's a...
I thought it was.
But what is a country album?
Yeah, exactly. I don't...
Because like now what country music is, if you go back 30, 40 years,
yeah.
They're not the same.
No, you're right. It'd be interesting to have Pat and Tom or one of them in on this, or Cody, because like, my dad's generation is like, all this other country, yeah, give me Merle Haggard, give me Waylon
Jennings.
Right. And then I first got into country fringes, I should say. I've never really been a full country guy. With, in the 90s, Tim McGraw, Garth Brooks, which was like kind of, that was really kind of like pop country crossover, I would say. Like Tim McGraw's, not his debut album, nobody's ever heard of his debut album, but the Not a Moment Too Soon with Don't Take the Girl and Indian Outlaw, which doesn't really hold up. And that is a phenomenal album cover to cover. I've worn that album out, CD, tape, cassette, 8-track, whatever you want to call it.
Do kids even understand wearing something out now?
You're right. No, kids don't. We should actually have that as a segment. Like things kids today don't understand. Like no one, like if I took out a cassette tape and I held it in my left hand and in my right hand, I held a pencil. Mm-hmm. Anyone 35 or over knows exactly what that is. But I honestly think under 35, they're like, I have no idea.
Yeah. Have you seen like the kids tried to work a rotary phone?
There's a whole thing of that where they have them doing different things. And then also the one I love is when the kids are listening to like Guns N' Roses. Those are phenomenal too. You used to play a cassette tape in a cassette player. And every once in a while, the tape would get tangled up. And you'd have to take a pencil or a pen and manually.
Yeah, like, why did that happen?
I don't know. It was really stupid.
Because it would be random. It didn't happen all the time.
Totally random. You'd be listening to like, don't take the...
Yeah. And then sometimes it's like, oh my gosh.
And sheer panic.
Yeah. Panic!
Total spaghetti too. Like sometimes it's like one little loop. You're like, okay, I can fix that easy.
No problem.
You're like, wait, how...
And the worst ones were the ones where... You finally get to the end of it, and it's like caught on something,
right.
And you're free. It's almost like defusing a bomb.
Yeah,
because you're like, I need to get it out of there, but if it snaps,
right, end of tape.
End of tape. I'm done. Kids today will never understand the fear and joy of pulling out a video game cartridge and blowing in it, and then very carefully setting it back in and turning the console back on.
Magic.
And then, if you got, like, the load screen, you're like, oh, my God, yeah.
I did it.
Same thing with, like, PlayStation 2, even that with the CDs.
But the Nintendo cartridge, everyone had their own system.
Everyone did.
And it just worked on their own Nintendo. Like, if a friend tried to do it, you're like, no, you're doing it wrong.
Get out of here.
I got this.
You have to tap it twice and then blow. What? And then I read an article not that long ago. There was a whole story on that. I was like, blowing on the cartridges did absolutely nothing.
They are liars.
Yeah,
exactly.
I agree with you.
Facts say that's not true.
Like, no. It was just turning the thing off and on. The blowing on the cartridge was just, that was a placebo.
Okay. Who started that first?
Who's the first person to blow on the cartridge?
Yeah.
It had to be.
Because it got around fast.
It had to be someone with an Atari. You know what I'm saying? It had to be somebody with an Atari. Anyways, MC is already on. I hate to do this. I'm like 20 seconds away from just banning MC straight up. Like,
what does MC do?
Every morning, it's like, God, dude, he's rolling in with like his little code phrases with dollar signs on some conspiracy. Civilians love words of conflict. It's like, bro, does everything have to be like a message? And I'm not going to lie, part of me, this is the a-hole part of me. Like, part of me, for some reason, likes the idea of just limiting his speech just because he's a big free speech guy, just to do it, just to be a D-bag. But, like, is there any chance, MC, what about this? Can we just come up with a compromise, please? Like, what if we have, like, MC Conspiracy Day, where, like, and I use that loosely, where, like, every Friday, you pick the day. It could be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Once a week, everything you can talk about, chemtrails or corporate overlords or, whatever is on your mind, man, you have carte blanche. But then the other 4 days, it's just like, go Kings, or hey, that's an interesting thing, or thumbs up, which I love that he does. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to limit your speech, although I'm absolutely trying to limit your speech.
That's an interesting point. I don't agree, but I enjoy that you made it.
Yes. Everything doesn't have to be like, oh, you know, eyes. Did you see the bridge fall? What? Who's behind it? Like, it's exhausting. And then everyone else goes off on the thing. It's like, come on, man. Like, it's like doing a play. It's like doing a play in New York on Broadway. Not that we're that talented. And then, like, there's this group that has season tickets that shows up to every single one so they can play spades.
And you're like, wow, that was a really good analogy.
You. You're doing your performance, and then it's like, oh, look, domino. Okay, but it's just every day, man. Like, yes, I know I'm trying to appease my corporate overlords because I am bought out and subject to the system and blah, whatever else.
Right.
I got to say, he's got to have a great weed stash or something. I'm just saying. God bless. We'll take a break when we come back. The Kings. Is this a must win tonight?
No.
No? That's our rule. That's right. You're not going to die if you lose. Kings Pelicans.
I won't say that.
Well, I'm just. Oh my God, that's a jinx. That is a jinx. I take it back. That was a jinx. What I just did. Nothing's gonna happen if you lose. That's we were talking about it yesterday. That's a jinx.
Now they really need to win.
They really need to win now. Okay. Woo. Suns beat the Blazers. We'll do.
Can I call my family?
Well, you're not on the team.
Oh, it's them?
I was talking about the kid. Oh, I said, when I said you're, I wasn't talking to you. I meant, like, it's the royal you.
Can De'Aaron call his family?
The Masters begins today, but it is delayed. We'd have it on right now, but I couldn't get the engineers to install a fire stick I bought. So, I don't know. I'll pull it up on this.
You bought another gadget?
I bought a fire stick for the station out of my own money, brought it in. Going to use all my subscriptions. Everyone gets to use it so that we can watch. We have the ESPN app, so we can watch day coverage of everything. And obviously, I want it. I mean, I'm being selfish here, but I did the whole thing. And I even tried to install it. The only thing that kept me from fully installing it is there's a power strip behind the TV, and everything is plugged in. And I'm afraid if I pull a plug, like, the whole cluster will go down. You know, just burp. That's all I asked for. Could you guys just plug literally, could you just plug something in? So the Masters begins today. We'll come back. Leading off is next.
Let's do it. Leading off, the three top stories in the morning.
Huge news. This is very important.
Here's cut number one.
New Orleans had won four straight before their loss Friday night to the Clippers. And they've come back just smoking hot. Another quarter three is knocked down. This time it's Najee Marshall. And you hear the Boo Birds in Sacramento. A minute 32 to go in this quarter. The Kings are now trailing by 40. That's 4-0 points. 99-59.
And that was, if I remember right, well, that was full strength, right?
Oh, I think so, probably.
Yeah. The, needless to say, the New Orleans Pelicans have dominated the Kings this year unlike any other team. They have to say, like, if there was one of those memes where, like, you had Zion and Brandon Ingram and they were, like, holding infants and they were the Kings.
Yeah.
Like, that would, like, they are the Kings' daddy full on this year. It all started out Monday, November 20th in New Orleans, where they lost by 36. Then the only time it's ever even been close was that follow-up 2 days later, New Orleans. They lost by five. That's okay. Respectable. So that's a 41-point drop. Then they lost by 10 at home. So on December 4th, that's a 51-point drop.
That was the in-season tournament game.
That was. And then
to get to Vegas.
Yes. And then as you heard the G-Man right there, the Kings did cut it down, but they ended up losing at home by 33. That's 84 points in four games. That is an average of, easy math, 21 points per game that the Kings get beaten or have gotten beaten by New Orleans. Their final regular season matchup is tonight at 7 p.m. It is a TNT game. So once again, I believe this is the second time, because the in-season tournament was on national TV. This is a second chance for the Kings to get on TNT and do something at home. That starts at 7, and their play-in lives are on the line, but with the Clippers tanking last night to the Suns, thanks a lot, L.A., sitting everybody. It's actually, I think, not saying it's not going to happen, but just the brass tacks here, if you look at the numbers. Jason, there is a very, very, very realistic shot tonight. Let me see. Are the Lakers even in action?
No.
They're not. Okay. There is a very, very realistic shot tonight that the Kings will be, I believe here, if I'm doing the math right, in a three-way tie for the 8-9-10 with the Lakers and the Warriors. The Kings are one game up on the Warriors, a half game up on the Lakers. The Lakers are idle tonight, and the Golden State Warriors play somebody lame. Who is it?
Portland or Utah, I think.
I think you're absolutely right. Let me look at today here. They play, they're in Portland, and they are favored by 14.5. So let's just go ahead and say the Warriors are going to win that ball game. Stranger things have happened. Lakers are off. So, yes, that is the reality for all of y'all. Now, the good news is the Sacramento Kings own the tiebreaker over both the Lakers and the Warriors.
Right.
So even in a three-way tie, the Kings would prevail and be 8. But with the Suns coming into town, second night of a back-to-back, right? Tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Isn't that? Yeah. And the Lakers and Warriors also having a couple more. You're going to have the Portland win, you hope, in the bag. But it is a very, very likely scenario that the Sacramento Kings, somewhere around 10 p.m. tonight, as fans are getting out of the arena, are going to be confronted with the fact that they have blown the lead, if you will, in the standings, and they're sitting in a three-way tie for their play-in lives.
And as much as we look back at all these games, right, whether it's pick your game, Detroit, Charlotte, you know, go down the list,
yeah,
the fact that you've lost to one team four times, and potentially, if tonight goes as you're suggesting, 5, that's a killer.
It is a killer.
I mean,
it is a killer. It is.
But I also don't know what the three-way tiebreaker rules are. I think they're different than the head-to-head.
Well, I would imagine, let's say they all three ended up tied. Wouldn't you just go through like, okay, well, does anybody have the tiebreaker over? Like, Kings have the tiebreaker over both. Okay, and then they're above. And then, okay, well, who has the tiebreaker between the
Lakers? It might be as simple as that.
I hope so.
I know the Warriors have it on the Lakers. But the Kings have it on the head-to-head on the Lakers. But they have to go to that other second tiebreaker to get to the Warriors. So I don't know. Might be a little bit more convoluted. Maybe not. Maybe it's as simple as that.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Cut number two.
Cut number two.
What do you want to carry over from tonight to Sacramento?
Just the intensity we play with in the fourth, the simplicity we play with as well. Just keep building, man. Keep building. I know it's been a couple games away from the playoffs, so we just want to stay healthy, keep grinding, man.
You talk about that defense.
All right, well, thanks a lot, Clippers. Mm-hmm. They just decided, hey, let's sit every single person ever. Yeah. So the Suns go into L.A. and at first, you know, they were down at the half, but then it was let's get serious time. They outscore the Clippers 62-47 in the second half. Nope, they didn't, because that's Cleveland and Memphis, Jason.
Yeah.
They outscore the Clippers 69. Hey, now, to 52. in the second half.
But see, that's what you can do if you're the Clippers. You've already kind of done your work early enough. You that's can right. set your terms. And, yeah, Kings fans can go, oh, thanks, L.A., but this is on the Kings.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Because the Kings could be doing that.
Right.
The Kings could be doing that.
Which they did last year.
You know, did the thing.
At the end.
Yep. So, a little nervous.
Yeah.
A little nervous.
Understandably
They're
so.
Very, very high strung.
Got to stay out of the 9-10, but that's still very much in play.
Very, I honestly wonder, there's got to be somewhere, somebody's got to have laid odds on this, mm-hmm. right? Somebody's got to have an odds tracker for where, I'd be a little surprised if the odds weren't the Kings at 9. I think that's where the odds would
yeah.
be Kings, not 10, but I think, but everything's in play.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't think 6 is in play.
It has to be the lowest odds, right? They have to win out, New yeah. Orleans has to lose out, have to get even a little more help too from Phoenix. So.
Yeah,
that's going to be the most difficult one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say
8 or 9 is probably the highest odds, maybe even 9.
I think 9 is the highest, 8 is the second highest.
10 might be the third. 6 has got to be the fourth.
Yeah, 6 has got it. Yeah. Or 7, right? Did we already say
7? Oh,
seven?
Yeah, we did say 7.
Yeah, 7.
Yeah,
I think it might go 7 of them. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Masters starts today, but is a little bit delayed because of weather when we come back. Let's get back into standings watch, which we kind of just did right there. But we'll go through there. And, yeah, if the Kings lose tonight, uh-oh, spaghetti. Yeah, we'll be right back after this.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
On Sacktown Sports.
What I never could have hoped to win. You're stopping down the road, leaving me again. The threats you made for men to cut me
down. I always like when it comes back from break and I'm trying to hork down a bite of Nutri-Aid bar. And the first clip is like zoomed right in on me. It's gotta be good. Why did I make that sound?
I don't. You said a hork.
Yeah, that's true. So it was like oink.
Gross.
Couple of things. Before you get standings watch, Jason, I gotta, you know, don't want to yuck your yum, as I always say, but
you got to.
I gotta tell you something you said during the break just kind of triggered me. One in like my top five things of things that a lot of people like that I hate are SpaghettiOs. I hate SpaghettiOs.
You do?
Oh, my God. My mom tried to give me
SpaghettiOs. People really like SpaghettiOs?
He likes SpaghettiOs.
Huh.
A lot of people do.
Really?
Well, I can't remember the last time I had them.
Oh, God.
But I loved them as a kid.
Old head.
They somehow taste cold when they're hot.
Dude, it's so funny. Yes. And I don't know. Like, the sauce is so sweet. Bless you.
That's why I like it.
It tastes like, old heads will remember this, the old Chuck E. Cheese pizza sauce. It used to taste like ketchup. It's like they put little circle pastas in with like ketchup and mix it together and there's SpaghettiOs.
And you might get meatballs or hot dogs.
The funny thing is, though, is I like the Chef Boyardee, the beef ravioli. I like those.
Same idea.
I think it's the same sauce.
It might be, but maybe like, I don't know, maybe the beef.
Maybe the meat.
Yeah, like offsets it. Also, I don't know if anyone else has this friend. You know, the other couple we always hang out with. So every morning around this time, which you can take a guess as to what he's doing, we have a group text. Chris almost spit take. And he sends a meme. Every day, we probably get an average of 3.5 memes from this guy. And no one responds. Usually it's his wife with a... Like, she'll hit, do the thing where she holds her finger down on the meme and hits ha-ha just because I think she'll get yelled at. Like, hey, because I'm pretty sure he goes, like, hey, did you see that meme I sent earlier? Like, you didn't react to it. Did you not think it was funny? Like, one of the, right? Like, he still goes to fark.com, F-A-R-K, like, one of those people. So every day he sends his memes, and I'm afraid, like, one out of every 300 memes he sends, like if I find something that is knockout, drag down, I think makes me laugh out loud, I'll put it in there. The problem is that if anyone does that, he instantly, it's like, ha ha, and throws it's like on. 50 memes back at you. And they're very, like, the problem is, and I would never tell him this, But 98% of them are not. It's like, okay, I mean, I guess. See, I'm going to show you three memes, Jason. I'm going to see if you can guess the one that I sent, okay? Here's number one.
Okay.
Okay. Here's number two.
Okay.
Here's number three. Okay, those are the last three memes that were sent.
Okay.
Number one, number two, or number three? Which one was mine?
I would like to submit number three.
You are 100% correct. You are 100% correct.
Where did you get the memes from?
Dude, I think somebody, like, I don't look for memes, but, like.
Memes just happen.
They do, but I haven't seen them like that.
Like, I'll be on social media, you know, I'll be on Twitter, and then if I see somebody, like, if it's something like that that just kills me, I'll save it because I know I can use that as a reply to a lot of people. But I don't know if that does everybody.
I'm glad I haven't received that one yet.
No, I at some point I'll probably use it in our group text. But I don't know. I feel like everybody has meme friend.
Yeah.
And you kind of like you're obligated to be like, that was great.
I like to send memes, but I don't feel like I need a response.
No. And I'll bet you that you.
It's like, usually a response to the. I don't just randomly send a meme, I don't think. It's
Jason's
usually
a big GIF guy.
A GIF, yeah. That's more of a gift, like, but it's off of the comment maybe you said. And so I'm like,
right.
Okay, this is my response.
Yes.
Via,
it's an appropriate meme that fits the conversation.
It doesn't need a ha-ha. If it gets one, that's fine. If not, I'm like, I responded.
Oh, I got in a lot of trouble because I was told that in the group chat, I don't like or ha-ha.
Here, look at the very bottom. There's the wife LOLing live. She just did it live. That's good. She did it live. Go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
I was told that I don't do that, so I'm not participating in the group. I'm just like, I talk in the group chat. Like,
right.
Yeah, but you're not liking or laughing at, like, I'm just like, are you being serious?
Wait, somebody actually said, how many people are in this chat?
This is a big one. This is like 10.
Oh.
But so it's like one of those ones, like I'll be at work and then I'll look at my phone and it's just like 13. And I'm like, what? I'm not going to go through all of this. And it's like one comment with everybody liking.
Everybody
like, yes.
Right. And now do you, I assume you mute the
notes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's been muted.
I can't. I am in one text thread that is over four people. And that's the one with like all of the cousins, all my cousins and stuff. But I don't ever look at it. And if I see like a ton of notifications, I'll look because it'll show you the banner. And if it's not like happy birthday or something, I just hit delete until it pops. I don't even look. Wow. I don't understand I don't understand the poll for large group texts. They drive me absolutely insane.
The family won the lottery. Please submit yes, you're interested.
Yeah, if I see
and
that,
then you said no.
If I see that in the banner, I'm hitting heart or whatever. Yeah, that I'll do. But he's absolutely right. Oh, hey, Jimmy had a birthday today. Like, heart, haha, like, exclamation points. Bing, 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 bing.
Bing bong.
Anyways, from the 916, Dave, add me to the group text. I am the meme lord. No, that instantly, if I was going to add you
that's
to the group
punishment.
Text, you just screwed yourself out of it. Don't want, I think that there should be like a rehab clinic for meme people that like all gather and like just need to share their memes with each other. And I think there's a whole etiquette thing with it.
I think I'm pretty good, but I'm like one every other day.
You talking about on ours or just in general?
Just in general.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I've said it before. Our show group text is probably my favorite group text because there's a high bar. There is no unnecessary sending. And if there is, that person would probably get dragged pretty hard. Like, Chris will send something. It's funny. I'll send something. I hope it's funny. Jason,
or it's show related.
Like, or it's show related.
You know, something.
Yeah,
Chris. Info, news,
right.
Something like that.
Chris isn't just randomly going like, here's my picture of the eclipse. And Anyways.
Oh, I'm sorry I sent that.
The eclipse pictures, by the way, that was a whole different thing. That whole eclipse experience, honestly, it hurt my faith in humanity just a little bit. Just a little bit. But, you know, is what it is. Hey, if it makes you happy, it can't be that bad. Great philosopher said that once.
You saw.
I would be very happy if the Kings were able to win tonight. Gentlemen, let's get this out of the way early just for funsies. Brandon Ingram is out. The New Orleans Pelicans have beaten the Kings in four games by a combined 84 points. So tonight, Golden 1 Center, Hornets are not playing, but they're in front of me right now. Pelicans, Kings, TNT, 7 p.m. right here on Sacktown Sports. It's the only place you can get a local broadcast. Who is favored, and by how much?
I'm still I'm confused on this one. I'm going to say Pelicans by a point and a half.
Hmm. I'm going to say Pelicans by 2.5.
Okay. 1.5 is exactly on the nose. Jason Ross.
The other way around?
Yep. The Kings are favored by 1.5 tonight.
I don't like that.
I don't like that call.
Thanks, Vegas. Jinxing, right?
Yes, but they don't care. They do not care. Once again, if the Kings lose tonight, it is spaghetti-o, as we said earlier, to start the whole conversation. If the Kings lose tonight, we're just going to go ahead and assume the Warriors are going to win in Portland. The Lakers are idle. I believe the Suns are idle, too, by the way.
Yeah.
So if that were the case, it would look like the following. The Kings would be eliminated from the sixth seed. The Pelicans Correct. Would then have a three-game lead with two left and the tiebreaker. The Kings would then be a full two games behind the Pelicans, which means
the Suns,
I apologize.
With two to go.
With two to go, which means the Kings would have to win both of their games, including the one against Phoenix on the second night of a back-to-back. Phoenix would have to lose. Now, listen, they play in Sacramento and in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Not for nothing there. You know, that is not an impossibility by any stretch of the imagination. And let's see. Yeah, the Timberwolves are currently tied with the Thunder, a game back of the Nuggets. So odds.
Oh, wow. You know what can happen now that you say that? I don't know what would happen here. There is a chance. Let's do this little exercise. Suns lose both.
Yeah.
Kings, we're saying, lose tonight.
Yeah.
Win both.
Yeah. So they're tied with Phoenix.
Lakers win both.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Warriors win all three.
Yes, you're right. There is a
four-way tie at 47 wins.
Could be a four-way tie for seventh place or for the seventh seed at 47. Woof. Is that right?
Right? Yeah. None of them play. Well, the only one that plays each other is the Kings and Suns.
Kings and Suns. And the Kings would have to win that one.
Right.
Kings would have to obviously win out. Suns lose out. That puts the Kings at 47. The Lakers would have to win their last two. That puts them at 47. Warriors would have to win their last three, including Portland tonight. That puts them at 47. I mean, part of me, I'm not rooting for that, but oh my God.
Yeah, how about that scenario?
And odds are when Minnesota plays the Suns, they're going to be playing for a seed.
Yeah.
They're going to be playing for a position.
Right.
So that'll be very interesting, too. We'll take a break when we come back. Safe or out, there may be a very interesting storyline developing when it comes to the Sacramento Athletics of next year. And it has nothing to do with the Sacramento Athletics. It has everything to do with hockey. What?
What?
What does that even mean?
What does that mean?
I don't know. We'll find out next. Sacktown Sports.
Safe or out? It's time to go around baseball. Three pitches, three swings. It's safe or out on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, let's do it.
Safe or out time. Chris Rolland, question one, please.
Safe or out? With the NHL's Coyotes set to move to Salt Lake next year, that may have closed off another path for John Fisher.
Yeah, this is, just looking ahead. If Vegas falls through, the thought is that it would most likely, if Fisher decided to either move or sell, if he decided to sell, it'd become a bidding war between Sacramento, Oakland, and Salt Lake. If it was I'm keeping the team, but I'm still going to move. Oakland probably moves way down to third because they don't deal with each other very well. And then it would seem to be Sacramento or Salt Lake. And I'm not ruling out any other cities, but assuming that it's going to be a West Coast thing, I guess Portland would be like, hey, we're Portland.
Yeah.
But this might eliminate Salt Lake City. The appetite there when you have a city that has...
Hockey make more sense there anyway?
I think it does. I think it does. You know, obviously they support the Jazz, but they are a small market. The idea that they would instantly this isn't Vegas. You know, adding in the NHL and then Major League Baseball all at once. It does not seem that there's the appetite even in Salt Lake City for that. Now, with the NHL, what we mean here is there's a contingency plan released by the NHL yesterday or reported on, I should say, where the Arizona Coyotes would actually play in Utah as soon as next season. Their situation in Phoenix is, I mean, I wouldn't say it's A's bad, but the fact that they're playing at a college where I think it's like, is it like 1,500 people, 3,000 people for, it's a tiny, tiny place, and they can't get any, they can't get any support for that whatsoever. They thought they had a solution with a $2.1 billion entertainment district in Tempe, but voters soundly rejected that. And there's another thing that's kind of happening right now where there is some buzz, and it's been reported on, that Major League Baseball owners are starting to get a little more than annoyed at this situation.
And oh, now?
Now.
Oh,
and their motivations are, of course, perfect, because they feel like John Fisher might be screwing it up for other cities that might want public subsidies for their stadiums. Oh. That John Fisher is muddying the waters. Thank you. Muddying the waters for everyone else that might, they're going to point at this situation and say, see, these places don't care about their team. They're mercenaries, blah, blah, blah. Like, the annoyance level with other baseball owners is really starting to grow with John Fisher. I could not be happier about that.
Yeah, and the one thing that when you brought up the A's, and, you know, if Salt Lake does become a non-factor, that's different than the Sacramento situation with the Kings years ago, was we all felt back then is, like, if the Kings left, like, we weren't getting another team.
That's exactly right.
Where there's a chance for Oakland. I don't know how good of a chance, but there's a chance, which I'm glad is at least being even mentioned. But, you know, first off, let's see if there's a miracle that they could stay. But I would think that's what it would take.
Well, the big thing with Sacramento was finding the owner.
Correct.
And it sounds like Oakland has that in spades.
Maybe multiples. Yeah. The stuff that Casey said, like, there's people that I can't even mention that would be interested.
Casey Pratt came on the show and last week and said it, or earlier this week, and has reported on it that Joe Lacob's the one everybody knows about, but he said there's more than one. So that's the idea. And for Oakland fan, like, there's a path. That's what I see. I understand that they're heartbroken about the A's leaving next year, because that's going to happen. The A's are going to play in Sacramento. That, you can't stop that. But if they need, like, Milbray John or something, and they're crown downtown of the A's, to be like, guys, there is a plan. Okay, they're holding in Sacramento. That's fine. They're still down the road. Salt Lake's probably out. Now we need to work on this ballot initiative in Vegas and kill that off. You, as we said before, you cut off every path until Fisher, like the Maloofs, throws up his hands and says, fine, score, or is pressured to do that. And now all of a sudden, if you're in a bidding war, you're not beating Joe Lacob. You're just not doing it.
And then if you have that now, while supposedly Vegas was going to be built for 3 or 4 years.
Yes.
So if you're starting to build in Oakland, then yeah, they just play here for a couple years and then move back.
I will say this right now, and then we'll go to number two. I think the chances of the A, this is going to sound so insane, mark it down April 11th. I think the chances for the A's to stay in Oakland are probably better than they've been over the last 2 years.
But not right now, like with a break. Yeah.
But I think the chances are actually better than they were a year or two ago because of this movement. Now the game is on, because Fisher's come out of his bunker. Now the game's on. You just have to strategize correctly. Number two.
Reports say some layoffs actually began yesterday for A's employees, some who've been there for quite a long time. Safer out, we should acknowledge the human side of this a little more.
I don't expect Sacramentans to, you know, or anyone to cry for the hot dog vendor. I understand that, or the, you know, the low-level administrator. But I do think it's important when we talk about Aaron Judge visiting and all this stuff. It's just a reality that in sports, it's not limited to this, that you've got people there that 10, 20, 30 years have had this job. This is a big deal. Some of them, it's their main income. Some of them, they're older, maybe retired, and they work on the weekends, taking tickets, greeting people, all that. They're saying goodbye. I feel a lot more sorry for them than I do for the millionaire athletes, that they'll be fine. Yeah, sorry you're playing in a AAA stadium and you're you know, catering is going to be coming.
They're not losing their
jobs. They're not losing their jobs. And even if they did lose their jobs, they're far better. You know, it's not like it's cheap to live in the Bay Area either. For a lot of people, again, this is a secondary income that they need. And I do think that there needs to be a face or faces put on that as well. Real people are losing real jobs.
Yeah, that's safe. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, those stories aren't covered enough. But if they do get covered, they need to be acknowledged for sure.
Number three, please.
An ESPN article said A's president Dave Cavill wouldn't comment on increasing salaries when they go to Vegas.
I wrote that wrong. Wouldn't comment on increasing salaries when they come to Sacramento.
Sacramento.
My apologies.
Safer out. That's because they won't.
That's safe. Just important to understand that. I know we're out of time. They're not. There's no track record, and there's no income. They're losing income coming here, and they're spending money. There's a better chance at payroll falling from where it is right now, that increase. Ugh. We'll take a break. When we come back, the Masters begins, and a very uncomfortable guest shows up at Augusta. We'll preview that. We got a question for you about it next.